Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read just the first part of this section, which is part of the so-called practical section of the book of Ephesians. The apostle has set forth wonderful doctrines in the first chapters, and now there are applications to truth that he is exhorting the congregation to make, and which the Holy Spirit would have us to make in light of the doctrines that the apostle teaches. We're going to be considering the fifth commandment this morning, and I want to remind you of that first before we read Ephesians 6. But the fifth commandment, you know, reads, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And so now we're going to read Ephesians 6 and hear from that perspective some words that God would preach to us about the fifth commandment, about honoring your parents. Hear and note the application right away in Ephesians 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father, mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training or nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear, trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. You masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. There is no partiality with him." That's as far as I want to read, though I'll be referring to the context presently in the sermon. And the Lord bless us as we hear Ephesians 6 speak to us about the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. And I am sure, beloved, that not one of us would say that the fifth commandment is unimportant, but that every one of us would say, because it's a commandment, but because of special reasons as well, the fifth commandment about honoring parents is vitally important in our day, always. And it is striking how the Bible itself speaks of the importance of that fifth commandment. And we ought to remember even that as we proceed through the commandments, we are making a transition with the fifth to the second table of the law with respect to our duties to the neighbor. Pretty soon we'll read, "Do not kill, don't take your neighbor's life," and then, "Don't commit adultery, don't take your neighbor's wife," and so on. But the fifth commandment is a kind of a transition commandment between the first, that has respect to our duties to God, and the second, with regard to our duties to the neighbor. Even some have even said that it's so important, this fifth middle commandment, that we ought to include it in the first table with respect to our duties to God. So you have the first commandment, no other gods. Second commandment has to do with our worship of God. The third commandment has to do with taking the name of God reverently. The fourth commandment, which you've seen the last couple of weeks, has to do with the Lord's Day. And now some argue strongly the fifth commandment is still concerned with our duties to God because it has to do with God's own authorities. Something we'll be thinking of presently is so very important to remember for children and all of us. These are God's authorities, our parents and elders in the church and dignitaries in the land. So it's that important. But there's so many other reasons. Whether you think it's the first commandment or the second or the fifth, it's just right in between. This commandment is so vital, beloved, for our to be thinking of and acting upon in this day of lawlessness. And in fact, Paul says to Timothy, in the end times, they'll be perilous. And the perilous character of the times will be marked by this. People despise authorities, and children are disobedient to their parents. That's a singular mark of our age, isn't it? Everybody spits at parents, and parents themselves are not acting honorably and worthy of the calling of parents. And elders in the church, they tyrannize the congregation, or they let the congregation do its own thing, both extremes of which are repugnant to the God who sets them in honorable places in the church. So we have this abuse of authority, this neglect of authority in the land, and we need then desperately to hear of the fifth commandment for us. And beloved, yes, it is about honoring God's authorities, parents, and all the other authorities that God puts in our way. That's why it's so important. God here will get the honor as we obey this commandment. God will be dishonored to the degree that we do not honor this commandment. So let's hear then of the first honor that we ought to give. That I'm going to be focusing on parents. But in the first place, the idea of this. And then secondly, the reason. And finally, the promise. For as our text even says, this commandment, this fifth commandment, is the first or very important commandment with a promise too of long life in the earth, eternal life in heaven. So the idea, first of all. Children, note here, I don't care how old you are, the calling that you have, obey your parents. How many times have you heard that word in your own home? I hope you've heard it a lot. Obey us. But I don't get it. Just obey. But I don't want to obey. Heard that? Enough? Too much? Not enough? Well, that's the commandment. You see, this obedience here, this honor that God's calling for, begins right at the home. And no matter how old you are, I think some of us raising children think that the obedience part will come later on when the six-month-old is 3 years old, maybe, and they can understand these things. But you realize children know right from wrong at an early age. You don't have to teach them how to sin. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to teach them how to disobey, how to be selfish. They know that very well. And so the calling comes to them right away, and from the cradle to the grave, it's their honor and obey your parents. And you'll know here, and I said this to my children last night, we'd like to read these passages in preparation for the Lord's Day. We get to do that. We know what the minister is going to preach about in our minister's family, even the day before, days before. But I told them, you know, children, it never says, the Bible doesn't, love your parents. Now, that doesn't mean not to love them, but that's rather assumed in this natural affection that you will love them, but it does say obey them. And the commandment in Exodus that we read in Deuteronomy says honor them. Now, this honor here is really the principal thing. You know what that means? It means, well, in a way, give glory to them. Because that's the word honor. Give kavod to them. That's some word that's used for God. Honor God. Honor God, the Bible says. But you're to honor your parents, too, as God, in the place of God. That's the idea. That is, consider your parents as of weight, of significance, of singular importance in your life. Honor them. Have this view of them that they are in the place of God to you, and that obeying God is obeying them, and obeying them is obeying God. That's how important this commandment is for children, that they learn right away of the provision of God Himself and of the God who is speaking through his parents. And this honoring shows itself in obeying. That's the connection here. You have this attitude, this reverence, this understanding of the dignity of your parents, and you obey them. That means honoring their word. Taking their word, they've just told you, go take out the trash, clean up your room, and saying, yes, I must do that. That's an important word for me right now. I've been doing something else. I've been playing over here, but the word has come from my parents, and that's the most important thing right now, and I must obey that. So, see that? In fact, Colossians, a parallel passage here in chapter 3, verse 20, says, children, obey your parents in all things. Not just come to church, but take out the trash and clean up your room and play with your little sister now. And don't hit your brother. Those kinds of things. See, all things. Now, there is, you know, one exception, children. We don't obey our parents if they're telling us to disobey God. There's a limit to the parents' authority, as we'll see presently. They must bring you the word of God. And if you are told by your parents one day, I'll just, you know, forget it. Don't worry about God. Don't worry about praying or something like that. You have to say to them, but Mom and Dad, that's just terrible what you're saying to me. And I can't obey that. I have to obey God above you. And you've even taught me that. Perhaps they did. And so there is this limit on parental authority and this limit on the obedience of the children. But certainly the children themselves don't get to call the shots in the home. And the point is here, they are under the parents are over them, and so they must yield to the parents in all things, except, of course, where they transgress the law. Now, I'm just being brief right here, beloved, because I want to emphasize especially some certain callings at the end of the sermon. But this also is this fifth commandment, which begins in the home, something that spills out into life. And you see here how the Heidelberg Catechism as well, and we're considering Lord's Day 39, speaks of this fifth commandment about honoring parents in the Lord as having also to do with, well, other officials in your life. That is, like, well, elders in the church, authorities in the church. They are the ones who watch for your souls, and we are to obey them, to submit to them as they bring the word of God in their authority. There are dignitaries in the land whom we may elect, but we elect to be, in this democratic society, we elect to be an authority over us. In some lands, you know, children, they have kings and queens and so on who rule, and you don't get to elect them, but nevertheless, they are over you. They have this dignity, and you are to submit to them as they rule in society. Obey the laws of the land. That's why you obey a policeman. And you obey them because of the place that they have. And so there's authority in church. There's authority in state. Teachers would be another source of authority as parents delegate the right to rule and teach on their behalf. So you listen to your teachers, children. And if they're teachers at home, you listen to your mother, who puts on a different hat and becomes your English teacher. So you respect her in that position, too. So all of these authorities, that's what has to do with the first commandment. And now I want to go quickly to the second point of my sermon. That's why. The reason. Why? Well, here in our text, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there's a promise attached to this, but I just want to talk about this is right part. Literally, we could translate, this is righteous. This is dikaion. This is what is good and holy for you. This is fitting for you, children. It is fitting for us to submit to the elders of the church. It's fitting for us to obey the laws of the land. It's fitting. You know why? Because God put them there. Now that is new to many people. That is even revolting to many people, but it is the Word of God. God gives you parents. God's the one who doesn't start us off with a level playing field, as the egalitarians want to make our world. Egalitarian means everybody's equal in pay not only, and in resources not only, but in authority. Not so God. He sets up authorities, beginning in the home. He made it so that parents would be over the children. And he sets up authorities in the church so that they would be over the sheep to watch for them, to govern them. He sets up authorities in the land so that there would be order and there would be protection for people. Why does he do that? That leads to this point. Because God himself and his authority would be known in these authorities. God himself would be known in these authorities. That's why Paul in chapter 3 of this book and verse 14 speaks of this. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family or fatherhood in heaven and earth is named. What God is saying there is that any father is representative of the Father of heaven, is supposed to be. God, you see, has given fathers and mothers to represent him. And so, children, when you are considering what your parents have said, remember, God has so put your father and your mother in that position over you, regardless of who they are, so that he is telling you, clean up your room. You see that? He is telling you, respect your sister and your brother. He is telling you, listen to the word that they bring to you. That's how God has set it up in the home. Of whom God is the Father, of whom the whole family or fatherhood in heaven and earth is named. That's the connection. So Romans 13, speaking of the dignitaries in the land, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Why? For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. There you have what God does through presidents, and through kings, and through mayors and governors. He himself rules. He himself enacts the laws. And I'm not getting into, I don't have time to do that, that's a whole other sermon, just how we are to behave towards these authorities if they don't enact just laws or wage just wars. There's some difficulties here. There are. I'm not denying that fact. But I'm just here stating the principle. God gives authorities. And God gave Caesar in the time of the first century, when the Apostle Paul was writing these things, and when Jesus himself said to the one, should we obey the authorities and so on, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. God gave Caesars who were not all that just. They were even pagan. And Jesus didn't get into all the politics of it. He just established the principle. Render to God the things that are God, to Caesar the things that are the Caesar's. And Paul says the same thing. Because God sets up these authorities to govern his world, his way. In the church too. It is not a chance. It is not by chance that we have these three elders in our midst. And yours truly as well as a teaching elder. God has appointed them. It is his will, and he will rule, and he will shepherd through these men. So, that, first of all, think about that. You have the calling You have the reason. There's a divine thing. There's theology behind that, but there's something more. And the apostle alludes to that when he says to the children in the congregation at Ephesus, children, you obey your parents in the Lord. And beloved, this is something that we Christians especially ought to take hold of today. Something here is something divine and something of gospel for us in the fifth commandment. Children, you obey your parents. Why? Because you are in connection with the Lord. You are in a relationship with the Lord. You and your parents are the heirs of the promise. And the baptism that you received is a signification of that. Of all people, Israel, you are the ones who are under God in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is given among the sons of men to save sinners and to engraft them into the real family of God. And to Jesus at the right hand of God is now given all power and authority. And you who are saved in the Lord, you honor your parents because you honor your Lord Jesus. That's the point. Of all the people, again, the covenanted ones, the children of believers who are called to believe and who show in so many wonderful instances that they do believe, you are called to be outstanding in your humility, in your honor, in your obedience, love and gratitude to parents and all in authority. That's the key here. Children, children of the covenant, and I plead with you today, children of the covenant, maybe some of you don't have believing parents. Now you are a believer, if you do believe. But children of the covenant, you obey your parents in the Lord. For this is especially right for you. This is becoming. This is a praise to God, well-pleasing to God. Now, here's my final point. Promise. This is to be an incentive for us, beloved. There's a promise. The promise is indicated here in our text as being an important motivation for children. And this is one thing we ought to remember, men and women, raising our children. Hold out incentives. That's good. That's not a bribe. That's good pedagogy. Do this, and you can go out and play later. Do this, and you can have dessert. That's not a bribe. That's leading children to what is good and healthy for them. Even dessert sometimes. But here, far more than that, of course, the promise is that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. That is wonderful. The Old Testament context, it was Israel. They were promised the land that the Lord thy God was giving them. That was the land of Canaan, the promise of his place there. But we're led in our text to see the spiritual and eternal significance when there's no mention of the land that God is giving them there. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, lifts this word out of the Old Testament context of the theocracy of Israel when the land of Canaan was very important. He says, now, the promise is really about this. Life with God in this earth. Notice, it's not the land the Lord thy God is giving you, but it's the earth. Wherever you are, children in the Lord, believing on the Lord, honoring God's authorities, the promise is yours. Eternal life in this earth and in the world to come. That's the idea of it being well with you, that you may live long on the earth. It's not just about living past 70, 80, or 90. The Bible speaks of this long life in terms that are designed to lead us to eternity. It's for eternal life. Nothing short of that, beloved, is promised from the riches of heaven. God is not stingy. He's generous. He's lavish. And He says, I give you life, and it's called eternal life. And eternal life is something that you receive by receiving the promise and receiving Christ by faith. This is eternal life, that they may believe on God and on Jesus whom God has sent, says the Word of God. So that's the promise. That's it. And now, beloved, that is needed. And that's a needed encouragement. There could have been a threat, though. And sometimes I think there ought to be. And that's something that should spur disobedient children to repent of their sin. You know, in the Old Testament, children, I'll just speak to you. You know what happened when children disobeyed their parents? They went on, and they didn't listen to them. They were taken outside of the camp and stoned. They were executed. Wow. You know what happened when there was idolatry among the sons of the fathers in Israel? When a son worshipped Baal or something like that and refused to listen to the admonition of the parent, the father? The father was called to take the son outside of Israel and to throw the first stone in his execution. Isn't that awesome? So you see, the threat that is held out to children in the covenant circle is not simply that you better obey your parents or you're going to get killed, you're going to get run over, you're going to eat the poison. It's this. If you don't obey your parents, you go to hell. That's how important it is. You don't obey your parents, you go to hell. And you suffer a fate worse than stoning. You suffer the eternal wrath of God. There's a warning here. Look, the apostle, again, it teaches us in his teaching how to teach men and women. Encouragement, first of all. There's promise, children. There's not only a threat, there's promise. Now, there's something here that I really want to leave us with, because it has to do with the parents, first of all, those first authorities. And they're brought out in our text. The fathers are. We're to not provoke our children to wrath, dads. Don't exasperate them to the backside of our hand all the time. Not giving them the time of day, but just giving them this. That's exasperating your children. Leaving it to your wife, that's exasperating your children. It's frustrating them. Don't do that. Don't favor certain children who naturally are better at obeying, at least outwardly, and just kick the other one to the side. Because he never obeyed, or she never obeyed. Don't do that. Don't play favorites. The positive calling is this, though. Then, and I suppose I want to leave especially the parents with this. It's one thing to call the children to honor us. It's another thing to act honorably. And I'm preaching to myself. And here's how you act honorably. First of all, then, note the context. Love your wife. What you say? It's about children obeying parents. It's about dads not exasperating their children. Well, yeah. But first of all, then, it's about you loving your wife. Ephesians 5. The text we use in marriages. Ephesians 6 follows Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 is about husbands loving their wives. Men, your home is first of all about your marriage. That's why husbands and wives need to take time with each other and need to love each other, not in every aspect, but in very important shows of affection in front of the children on the couch and at the table and not being short with them, being loving to them, being kind. How are we doing, men? You see, this is about us too. Oh, the children. Yeah, those little rats. Oh, we didn't treat them. It's about you. Faithful, loving husband. You see how the children now have this family. And they have a faithful man whom they can respect. A faithful mother. A loving, humble mother. And they're led, you see, to honor. They're led, right? And here's how, secondly, teach your children. Honor your father and your mother. You know what that has to do, children, for you? It has to do with you listening to their instruction. And it has to do about your listening to their instruction in history and English and cleaning up the room and taking out the trash and so on, especially and listening to when they bring you the word of God. You see, it's no wonder there's no respect for authorities in the land anymore, because there's no understanding of homes anymore, because there's no understanding that God should be the God of the home and the father in the home and the leader in the home, and His word should be the foundation of the home. But I want to point out to you that in Israel and in the New Testament, it's not so that God is outside of the home somehow and God's word does not have any relevance to how you bring up children. How foolish! The calling of parents is to teach. Just look at Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Parents! Teach your children. Right then. And children, honor your parents by listening to what they say. What did they say? You read Deuteronomy 6. There's three things that the parents are called to teach their children, besides English and history and everything. Number one, you were in bondage to Egypt. That's what you're called to teach your children. Their sins and miseries by nature. You are a sinner. You're born in sin. Number two, you're called to teach them of the liberation from Egypt through the Exodus, through the sovereign God and Jesus Christ, and called you are to say, now you believe that, child. You repent of your sin and you believe that, child. And number three, after the bondage and the Exodus, you're called as a parent to teach them how to continue to be free. That's Deuteronomy 6. That's the Word of God. That's children obeying your parents in the Lord and parents instructing your children and acting honorable. Teach them the gospel. That's it. And sometimes with words. Always by example. Always by serving the Lord. Then telling them this is what you're doing. This is why you make the sacrifices in church. This is why you come as often as you can. This is why you want to hear the word. When you bring your children to the Good Shepherd that way. And the Good Shepherd who makes not only your family, but a whole family, a church family of people and believers together and their children. And see, then there's joy. And there's long life that's not just hanging on, but there's joy. And parents have no greater joy than to see their children walk in the truth, 3 John 4. And the family is a happy place. And there's disobedience, which is corrected. The parents who care enough to spank their children sometimes. But there's especially this grace. Hugs all around. And each of us saying, to each other. Don't let a day go by without this, families. Each of us saying to each other before we go to bed, after the tears of a hard day, oh, but I love you. I love you, Mom and Dad. I love you. And child, hearing from parents, oh, I love you. And how much do I love you? I love you higher than the moon and back. I love you around the world 3 times. I love you, and I would honor you because of God. And God is great. And I'm going to honor you, Mom and Dad. And I'm going to be honorable children. And I know I've blown it. Because God is worthy. Beloved congregation, let's be a family that's a family, shall we? Of families. And honoring children. And honorable parents. And honoring elders. And honorable elders and pastors. And all of us together in this world of dishonor and chaos, seeking to call others to yield to the crown rights of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful. You are God who gives us a word that's timely, a word of the gospel, a word of wonderful joy and hope, and a word that is sweet, and a song we can live by, our children can live by. Oh, Father, we pray in our hearing what you would say in the commandments. Help us to take to heart that you are the God who commands salvation. You save us by an almighty word in spite of ourselves. Give us to believe, Lord, this is the way that you apply salvation to us and bring it home to our hearts, to our homes. Everyone here, Father, be glad. Rise up here, encouraged, directed, challenged, sometimes rebuked. Definitely, Father, leading, being led by the Holy Spirit himself to wonderful joys in the Lord. For Jesus' sake, amen.